All right. Did you guys have a good fourth yesterday? Yes, clap if you did. All right. I won't ask if you didn't. Okay. And so I am excited to bring the Word of God to you today. You know, with all of the craziness in the news and everything, as we all know, and I try to keep up on the news, I personally don't watch the television news because it seems to be fed to me in a strange manner at times, so I choose what I'm going to read on the internet. But it's really, really interesting days. And yesterday, I was able, Teresa and I were able to go to the actually wonderful little town of Hornbrook. I always want to call it Hornbuckle. Is there a Hornbuckle somewhere? I always want to do that. This town is just over the border into California. If you go past the fruit inspection and take a left, then you're at Hornbrook. And anyway, so we went there because they had a parade yesterday. Yes, and let's see, how many minutes did it last?
9 minutes.
9 minutes, and then they turned around and came back again. So, but it was fun. The reason I say that, it was like a slice of Americana. It was kind of like, it was kind of a relief from everything that's been happening, and it just felt really, really good. And so, good on Hornbrook, California. Yes. So, we're going to be looking in John chapter 3 today. So, a lot of the scripture will be up on the screen, but I want you to be ready with your own Bible if you would like. And would you just pray with me that God would reveal His Word today? Lord, we just give you thanks and praise at all times. And today, Lord God, we ask that you would bring the Word of God to our hearts, bring the Word of God to our mind, Lord God, because that's where true freedom is in the Word of God and in you, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for that, Lord, in advance. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right. So 3 years ago, Teresa's cousin, her name is Dorla, her life was radically altered by a health crisis. So I wrote it in a little story form, so bear with me. Here we go. It was December 29th, 2017, New Year's Eve at the Roth home in Albany, Oregon. The horses had just been fed, for real, and Darla, wife and mother of three boys, had just made cinnamon rolls and was looking forward to the evening's festivities. She sat down in a chair next to her husband, Bob, and she started to drink a cup of coffee. Something didn't seem quite right. She suddenly began to have some extreme pain in her stomach, and it came on so quickly that Bob told her that they needed to go immediately down to urgent care. From urgent care, they sent her quickly to the Corvallis Hospital, and it wasn't any time at all until they were rushing her to OHSU in Portland, informing her that she had had a massive heart attack. Now, Dorla, who was only into her mid-50s, she had no signs that this was about to happen, but suddenly she was in a fight for her life, and she would discover later, now I don't understand all of this, so those of you in the medical field, excuse me at times here. Here we go. She would discover later that parts of her heart had literally exploded. It was a miracle she was even still alive. And at OHSU, she was connected to a life support system that literally pumped blood through her body and kept her alive. Her husband, Bob, was told on three separate occasions during this time that his wife had passed away yet had come back again. Eventually, through a series of miracles, they sent her home with a battery-operated artificial heart, which I don't know anything about that. After 3 months, she received a phone call telling her there was a donor heart available that she could receive. And the operation was a success. And now, 3 years later, this May was the anniversary of Dorla's new heart. As amazing and miraculous as the story was and is, We're going to find out in the book of John, chapter 3, the words of Jesus to a religious man, a teacher of the law, and his name is Nicodemus. And we're going to find out that Jesus said we all need a brand new heart, but one that can only be given by God. And I want to say quickly, we just spoke to Dorla on the phone, and she was on speakerphone, and she kind of relayed the story to us. There's so much more to this story, and again, I don't understand all of the whatever she had temporarily as a heart and all of that, but Teresa and I did go up to the hospital at OHSU, and she was there, and I didn't even know they could do this, but they had this machine that literally pumped blood constantly through her body because her heart couldn't do it. And so anyway, it was an amazing thing and amazing to see all that her family had to go through with that, not knowing whether she was going to pass away at any moment. But she's doing great today. So that was 3 years ago, and she sounded great on the phone. So John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." All right, water and the Spirit. It's really an interesting term that Jesus uses, and this has been interpreted different ways by different denominations, okay? So several denominations interpret this to say the water part of it, that you need to be baptized in order to go to heaven, okay? We don't teach that here, and I'm going to kind of explain that as I go. And we do believe, as Pastor BJ shared earlier, that baptism is a command of the Lord. We believe that it is an outward symbol of an inward change. Okay, outward symbol of an inward change. Now, water in the Old Testament often refers to spiritual renewal or cleansing. And the most significant Old Testament passage is in Ezekiel chapter 36. I read earlier today from Ezekiel chapter 37, so these are really close together, and it might make some sense to you. Okay? So I read earlier about those dry bones coming to life by the Spirit of God, and that song, which is so fun to play, Rattle, yeah. Yes, I get to do some power chords on that song. Very fun and very great. So here we go, Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." So water in this scripture and in the Old Testament, it cleanses from impurity, and the Spirit cleanses hearts. Okay, so water is forgiveness and cleanup. Forgiveness and cleanup, that's what water symbolizes from the Lord, and that's what we need. Jeremiah 33:8 says, "I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion." So God's going to cleanse them from sin. Now, forgiveness and cleansing, we need it, but it's not enough. And you might think, what do you mean it's not enough? Of course, God's forgiveness is enough. Well, yes, that's enough to get you into heaven, but think about this. We need a new way of thinking. So when we are forgiven, we actually need to change how we think. not just be cleansed and forgiven by the Lord, as fantastic as that is, because we need to be new to be happy in heaven. Because if you're not new, you won't be happy there, because you won't understand how beautiful holiness is. You won't get it, okay? If your mind isn't renewed, all right? Your mind needs a change. And if you're not new, you won't be happy in heaven. And heaven is packed with God's holiness. So that's got to be a beautiful thing to you, so that when you're there, you want to be there. Because it's holy and beautiful, okay? But if we don't have that heart change, we're not going to get it. We won't understand that. Okay. So we need a new heart, a heart of flesh, one that can be molded and shaped. I'm going to go back to Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. It says, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, when Jesus is talking about being born again, this is what he's talking about. Getting a new heart, a spiritual heart. So we originally have a heart of stone. Now, this is quite a large heart right here. Probably Goliath might have had a heart like this. But we originally have a heart of stone. And I had a heart of stone in my life for 21 years, a heart of stone. Okay. And the Holy Spirit changes us to a heart of flesh. And the picture there is one that can be molded and shaped. So, what can change your heart of stone? God put a brand new heart in us, one that can be molded and shaped. He molds it to move us to follow in his decrees. So, this is kind of what I'm talking about. So, when we mistreat someone, if we mistreat someone, when we have a heart of stone, then nothing changes, okay? You might feel bad about it a little bit, but nothing's really going to change in your life, okay? Got a heart of stone. But if I have a heart that's described as a heart of flesh, because that picture of flesh is one that can be molded, and then I mistreat someone, then God and the Holy Spirit can begin to mold my heart. And sometimes it hurts, sometimes, because God is molding this thing, and then that wrong thinking becomes right thinking, and then something happens in me, and I feel bad, not only feel badly about mistreating someone, but then I'm going to do something about it. And then my heart's going to change so that I don't do that the next time, okay? So, when we lie to someone, if you have a heart of stone, you lie, nothing changes. Nothing changes. You just keep lying till you get really used to it. And then you're just a liar. But you're just a flat-out liar. But nothing has changed because you have a heart of stone. You don't have a new heart of flesh, okay? But with a heart of flesh, there's conviction, and the Holy Spirit moves upon you, okay, to quit lying. And then you feel bad. You not only feel bad about it, but it's a conviction in your heart and in your mind, and then God begins to change, see? It begins to change you when you get this new heart. Okay, if we judge somebody unfairly, and now that's all over the news, and they don't want anybody to judge people unfairly, and that's true. We don't need to judge people unfairly, okay, for whatever reason. Okay, but if you have a heart of stone, and you don't have this new heart from the Lord, then once again, nothing changes. Nothing changes. And then bitterness remains, and you really get some wrong thinking, okay? But when you have this heart of flesh, God begins to move on you. And you begin to apologize and make things right. And you begin to realize in your mind and in your heart that you need to love, because that's who God is. And he's trying to make you more and more like him. This new heart, okay? Recently, I was very focused on a project, which, if any of you are like me, I can get really focused. That's how I'm able to do certain things well, but other things, it can be, you know, a pain to other people because I get so focused that I forget about them. And so this happened the other day, and I was really focused on something, and a colleague came to me and needed some of my time, and I was like, ugh. I was like, okay, you know. And now, if I had a heart of stone, which I had for many years, I'd have just brushed that off and kept on going. But thank God, and it's all the Lord, he gave me a different heart. And so then God began to mess with me and say, Roger, stop what you're doing and apologize, which I did. But that's what God does, see? That's what God does, and that's what this new heart is all about. So the Holy Spirit gives us a supernatural heart transplant, a supernatural heart transplant, one that can be shaped and molded by the Spirit of God. So now we're going to move on. We're going to go to John chapter 3, verse 6. It says, flesh gives birth to flesh. This is Jesus still speaking to Nicodemus. But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So what Jesus is saying here is that humans give birth to humans. You know, we're all here because a human gave birth to a human. That's what happens. And he's saying, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Okay? So humans give birth to humans. Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And in verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Remember, Jesus is speaking to a teacher of the law. So someone that people look up to, okay? And they should have really good answers for them. And Jesus is challenging this guy. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit, which means it's a mystery. It's a mystery of God. It's supernatural. So how can this be? Nicodemus asked. And Jesus says, you are Israel's teacher, and do you not understand these things? So as we have seen, water and the Spirit were taught in the Old Testament. That those verses from Ezekiel, Nicodemus, I'm sure, knew those scriptures. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that Nicodemus knows the Old Testament. So he's saying, you're teaching people and you don't know this stuff? So Jesus tells Nicodemus that he needs a supernatural rebirth to go to heaven. Experiencing the supernatural in yourself, a rebirth. And it's not an improvement, it's a new creation, a new creation. So the doctrine of the new birth is not marginal, it's not cosmetic. Okay, it's a creation of life. It's not an imitation of life. It's not taking a heart and making it better. It's not taking a sad song and making it better. That's a song. And then, but it is a brand new heart. Thank you, Don, for knowing that song. So remember when Dorla first came home from the hospital, she was given an artificial heart, one that was a copy of her original heart. Well, that's not what Jesus does. He doesn't do that. We're given a brand new heart. So flesh has a kind of life, but Jesus is not talking about that life. So I've mentioned the word flesh in two different ways. One is the word says that God wants to give you a heart of flesh. That's a different word, because a heart of flesh is just one that can be molded. But flesh, in this other instance, is talking about life without the Spirit, okay? So it's carnal. So how does this life happen? Nicodemus didn't understand. So how do we get a new heart and a new life? How does the Bible say we are to acquire this new life? And maybe you've known Jesus a long, long time. Anymore, I can say that. But maybe you've forgotten the miracle of it all. Well, let's take a look at it. How does the Bible say we do it? So these are in the book of John. One is in 1 John. John 6:48, it says, I am the bread of life. This is Jesus speaking. I am the bread of life. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. 1 John 5:11-12, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal what? Life. He's given us life. Guys, in these days, it's so easy, and I'm going to mention this later, but it's so easy to forget. Because of this pandemic and this sense of retreating sometimes, you know, with the masks and just with the distancing and all of that, it causes us to want to retreat. But that's not what Jesus has for us. He gives us new life, a life that is to be shared. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have the life. You won't see that in the news today. That would not be a very popular message. But this is what the Word of God says. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So the Spirit gives us life through connecting us with the Son of God through faith. So think about that. In order to have a new heart, and you may be a person that you feel like, wow, I just don't have any hope. I don't know what to do. I'm depressed. I don't know where to turn, what to do. Well, if you have never made a decision for Christ, to follow Christ, I will tell you that if you honestly do, just like Trent did up here, that you can have a brand new heart. Literally, spiritually, a brand new heart. And that means you're going to have hope in your life. So that I want to say this again. The Spirit gives us life through connecting us with the Son of God. Okay? He's the only way. He's the only way. Life is in the Son by the Spirit. In John chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. You just have to believe. You have to believe. New life. It's a miracle from God Himself. He gives us a new moldable heart that causes us to want to be like Jesus. And that's the only way to go to heaven. It's absolutely beautiful. Before I was saved, before I was 21, I didn't want to be like Jesus. I had always been taught about God. I didn't know you could have a relationship with God. And I didn't want that. When I thought of someone who was a Christian, I thought, well, why would I want to do that? That is a bunch of rules, and it just kind of keeps you bound up. And But then suddenly I began to run into Christians who were like really happy. And that was really new. They actually loved me for where I was, and they didn't know me. And I didn't get it, but I thought it was really cool. I want to say this again. In these days of the COVID pandemic, it's easy for us as believers in Christ to pull back, because I've sensed that myself, to retreat, because, and it's hard. This is hard. It's hard for me. And what do I say without getting in trouble? I'll just say it's been hard for me, just many of the things. And I think for some of us, it's been hard for you too, for different reasons. And I mean both ends, not sides, but ends of the spectrum. It's just hard, a difficult thing. And especially as believers in Christ, and that fellowship is such a crucial, important part of our life. That brings life to us. And what this has done, the 6-foot rule, the masks, and not being able to talk, that's hard. That's a difficult thing. But we're asked not to retreat in terms of our love for people. We've got to keep loving people, guys. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. And to remember that we're here to love people and to allow God to love other people through us, okay? And whatever that looks like, If I could have the worship team come up, that'd be great. So I want to summarize what I've taught today. Number one is that we must be born again by the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus said. So many of you may have heard that term, born again, and it's, you know, it's really tweaked by the world, that term. It's really a beautiful term. Number two, the Spirit through Jesus gives us a new spiritual heart. That's what this is all about. Jesus gives us a brand new spiritual heart that can be molded and changed so that you can actually get better. You can actually be a better person. Number three, our hearts can then be molded into what God desires for us. So then this heart that's molded helps us to become more like Jesus. Okay? So the bottom line, and this is just a phrase that I came up with. The Spirit unites us with Christ where there is cleansing, and He exchanges the old hard heart with a soft heart that treasures Jesus above all things and is being formed by the Spirit to be more like Jesus. So God causes us to want to do what He wants. That's why before I was a Christian, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand wanting to do the things that Jesus teaches. I didn't get it at all. And I think there's a few people watching today over the internet who have known me years ago and maybe haven't seen me for a while. And you're wondering, wow, that's not how you used to talk. Well, that's not because of anything that I have done, although my wife would take a lot of credit for that. But it's because of Jesus who gave me this new heart, And a very familiar scripture. And if you've heard it a million times, I want you to listen to it one more time. And that's also in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And our message, church, isn't to condemn the world. It's that we can do whatever we can as God helps us to help save the world, to lead people to hope so that they can have a new heart too. You know, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Let's bow our heads this morning, if you would. And if you're in this place today and maybe you have heard this before, maybe you haven't heard this before, about getting a new heart, a new life, and you're saying, that sounds pretty good. My life doesn't look so good. And I'm not sure what to do or where to turn. If that's you today, I would just like you to raise your hand where you are. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Okay. Great. Great. Well, it's a simple thing. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So, we need the Son of God. And the Bible says, and we heard this earlier, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means every single person has sinned and done something that's in conflict with the character of God. That we've all done it, and at times still do. But the great thing is that Christ has died on the cross and risen again so that we can have new life. So if you raise your hand or you didn't raise your hand and you want that new life, I just want you to pray a simple prayer, one that I prayed at the age of 21. That was, I don't remember exactly how I prayed it, but it went along the lines of this. Dear God, and you guys say that after me, will you please? Dear God, I need you in my life. I believe in you. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to know the Son of God. I want to know Jesus. Because I believe that's how my life can change. Reveal yourself to me in Jesus' name. Amen.